Good afternoon. It's Saturday where I'm recording this, and I hope you're having a good Memorial Day weekend. And do take time to remember and be thankful for those who've served in our military, especially those we honor this weekend who have given their lives for our country, for the freedoms we enjoy, including to do this. And just kind of for the godly heritage, I know Memorial Day weekend for my family also involved that, going to the cemeteries and decorating and things. I hope you're being safe. I just finished watching the press conference, and there's over 100 active cases in Benton County and over 120 active cases in Washington County now. So I hope that you're practicing social distancing and good hygiene. I kind of hope you're doing a lot of those things all the time, but especially now so. But I wanted to spend a little time in the Psalms again. Now, you know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, breathed out by God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we'll probably unpack that a little later on in another message, but I've been spending time during the week in the book of Psalms, and want to highlight a little section here in the Psalms that might get overlooked. You know, it's kind of between things, and that is where it started in Psalm 110. That's a big Messiah psalm there. There's a lot about our Jesus in there. And the book of Hebrews unpacks, just spends chapters on a few verses from Psalm 110. So it's always valuable to look at that. And then to see in Psalm 111. Psalm 111 and 112 are paired. Both of them are an acrostic. And I don't know if you know what that means, but it means that every line starts with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet, from Aleph to Tau, if you know your Hebrew alphabet, which I don't. I just used all that I know. But 111 highlights the reasons to praise God for His character, His nature. And then the next one, 112, highlights the blessing of walking with God. Then 113 through 118 are the beginning of the praise psalms that were used at the big festivals on the Jewish calendar. So 113 was with Passover, and 114 with the first fruits and things like that. And so it's valuable to slow down and kind of get some of the history on these. And so the one I wanted to look at today is Psalm 111. Because it's the one that gives us reasons to praise God. And I know that may sound similar to other messages. Aren't they always about reasons to praise God? But I think we can see another important facet of going through the Psalms. And that is that, like all of the Scriptures, they point to Jesus. They point to Jesus. They keep pointing us to Him. And so we're going to read through Psalm 111. It's 10 verses. And then we're just going to kind of walk our way through it and see different ways that it points to Jesus. So Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people the power of His works, in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are verity and justice. All His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Let's pause for prayer. Father, just thankful you've given us this few minutes, Lord, to look in your word. And I thank you for your word and how it points to your Son. Now may your Spirit who inspired also stir in our hearts to give a better understanding, which would lead us to praise you and to do your commandments. We love you and we need you. We hope it shows. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay. So, Dog and I are hanging out in the backyard, as you can see. And she's getting to eat some bones. So you don't mind. I'm going to give her another one. And let her enjoy that. So, praise the Lord. Now, that would be hallelujah. It starts with hallelujah, just like that. So the direction is to point us to praise. And the psalmist says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the private inner workings of his character. But also notice that in the assembly, he will praise publicly. Among the upright, those who honor God, that is the best praise. And in the congregation, as the believers come together, which, if the weather permits, we're going to get together in the pavilion tomorrow. Looking forward to that. It has been good to see each other's faces again. But he then goes to reasons why, the works of the Lord. Now, for the psalmist, the works of the Lord here, especially in the time of David, they had seen the Exodus. And if you read through the Psalms, you'll find multiple references to the Exodus, to the wilderness travels, and to Joshua's time, the conquest, as the works of the Lord that reminded David's generation and following generations of God's faithfulness. And he says that those who have pleasure in them will study those works. Those who, as they rehearse those in their mind and as they read over them, they will have pleasure and seek to know that better. Because those works, first, he says, are honorable. They're honorable. Now, in our modern sensibilities, we often struggle with some of the things that take place in the Old Testament, and even some of the things that God did. But we are reminded here that his works are honorable. They are worthy of honor. And so we need to remember that God's perspective is greater than ours. We see just a small picture, and especially, I think a lot of us are guilty of not reading all of it, but just reading parts of the Old Testament. And so we miss the merciful actions of God because we're just looking for the big climatic events. But his works are honorable, and his righteousness endures forever. His doing of right, his doing what is right. You'll remember when Abraham was interceding in the behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, will not the judge of the whole earth do right? What if there are some righteous people there? And so God allows Abraham to intercede for that city. Abraham probably most mindful of Lot and hoping that Lot had had some influence there. You'll remember the rest of the story. That's the part we often remember, is the climatic disaster. But it's preceded by God's righteousness and desiring to show mercy. And that's what the next verse in this tells us. He's made his wonderful works to be remembered, that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now, that might ring a bell for you, in that when Moses interceded for the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, because they had, right after hearing God speak the Ten Commandments to them, and while Moses was on the mountain receiving them written in the finger of God on stone, they were making a golden calf and worshiping and having a wild orgy of sin. The Lord revealed himself to Moses as Moses begged for God to forgive and to have mercy on the whole nation. And the Lord reminded Moses that his name is gracious, that he is full of compassion, that he is seeking to show mercy. And that's what that verse is reminding us of. There's another work of God. But now here's the point in which I want us to flip the script and look forward from David. What was the most gracious and full of compassion act of God? To come and be one of us humans. To live among those people, David, that nation that had rejected him so many times, to live as one of them. And not just to live among them to show them righteousness, but to be the sacrifice so that they could have his righteousness imputed to them by faith. And so we see Jesus among these works. He is the one who works. He had compassion on the sick and on the sinners, the friend of sinners even, on those who had leprosy and those who grieved over those they had lost. He was full of compassion. He was honorable and glorious. He gave food to those who fear him. He fed thousands there on the hillside. He was mindful of his covenant. God had promised in his old covenant to provide a new covenant full of mercy and with a new heart. Is that not what Jesus came to do? This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is given for you. Keep this in remembrance of me. And so he has declared the power of his works. Nothing is too hard for God. And in this case, David applies it to giving them the heritage of the nations. The promised land was occupied by the nations who had rejected God and with arrogance had persecuted his holy ones and had violated every natural law given by God. And so the land ejected them, and God put his people in there in the hope that they would do better. But God already knew that they weren't going to succeed in that either, because it would take a new heart, hence the new covenant that he just referenced. Now, the works of his hands are verity and justice. Now, I don't know about you, I don't use verity all the time. But I do use the word trustworthy, faithful. And some of your translations will reflect that. Because he is trustworthy. He is justice. He brings forth justice. There are so many injustices in our time, in our nation. You know, we're heartbroken for the jogger who was murdered in the street, and just hurts us to realize those things are taking place without justice. But God's going to make those things right. He knows the truth, and he expects us to follow him in that regard. Because his principles, his precepts are sure, they're steadfast, they're faithful. Because I want to go back to that faithful thing. Two or three times now we're going to hear this in this psalm. He's ever mindful of his covenant. He is faithful. He is, and we're going to hear it again there, he's faithful. You don't have to worry about God waking up in a bad mood. You don't have to worry about God having one of those days, being shorter tempered than normal. God is ever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, he is long in patience, but his justice is sure. And so those two things need to be held together. They stand fast forever and ever, because they are in his word, and he is faithful to his word. and what his works are, they are done in truth and in uprightness. And that word uprightness is talking about that idea that it is upright. It is the benchmark for the plumb line, so to speak. It is not something we have to wonder about God being crooked. No, he is upright. He has sent redemption to his people. And that's important, because if he was only upright and righteous altogether, we would be doomed. I've sinned today. You have too, whether you know it or not. But he sent redemption to purchase us from our slavery to sin, that we might become servants of God, set free, paid it all. And so his covenant is forever. Holy and awesome is his name. And I have to admit, I'm one of those who has diluted the word awesome to mean very little. But he is one who inspires awe among us. And that is the beginning of wisdom, we're told. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Psalms, the Proverbs, even the book of Job, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That we would be in awe of him and his characteristics, his works. God, who even in his flesh did not ever sin, tempted in like manner as we are, yet without flaw. He did all things well. And yet, the wrath of God poured out upon his Son for you and for me. That is one of the most fearsome things that I can think of. That in the space of that afternoon, that infinite God paid for the infinite number of sins of an infinite number of people, sufficient to cover all those sins, and efficient for those who trust in him, who claim Jesus, who've asked for that forgiveness of sins. Again, should be inspiring fear in us, a holy reverence and awe. And when we have that, that is the beginning of wisdom. That is good understanding to those who do his commandments. It's one thing to know his commandments. And you know, I give you the quiz every so often of the Ten Commandments. Speaking of which, when the video is over, go through and see if you can list all 10 of them again in order. Because it's important in the order as well as in being able to name them all. And if you can't, put that in your list of things to do. Don't forget how Jesus also summed up all of the commands. The greatest commandment, and this one like it. And while you're looking, make sure you also can recite the new commandment that Christ gave his followers. We talked about it Wednesday night. If you haven't watched that video yet, you could do that. Because head knowledge isn't enough. Doing his commandments, that is a form of praise. That is a form of worship, that God is worthy to tell us what to do and how to do it. His praise endures forever. So this is just some thoughts from Psalm 111. The Word of God is deep and thick, full. It points to Jesus, and it is instruction for our lives, because we see a God who is full of justice and yet desiring to show mercy, and has given the greatest act of love in the sacrifice of his Son, and that he would offer it to us not for any great sacrifice that we make. His sacrifice is sufficient. All we must do is to ask. And we think it's a sacrifice to surrender our pride and humbly admit our wrong that he already knows exists, to ask for his salvation. And he sends his Holy Spirit to seal and guarantee that salvation. We might ever live in him. May the Lord be praised in my lips and in my actions and in my heart. praying for you. Thankful you take the time to watch these and to listen to these, whether it's on our podcast or on our YouTube channel. Thank you to those who've been making this ministry possible. You are a blessing from God. And you can see in the notes how to participate in that. But may God continue to richly bless you, because He already has.